Welcome back to the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. In this episode, I speak with a nutritionist. His name is Nick, and he actually DM'd me on Instagram because he's been struggling with binge eating. And I don't want to get into too much detail here because we had a wonderful call and I want you to listen to the whole thing. But long story short, Nick has felt more or less like a fraud because he can help other people with their disordered eating habits and their binge eating, but he struggles with it himself. And this is a very, very common and prevalent issue within the fitness industry. And I'm beyond grateful he was willing to get on the phone with me and discuss to not only show you how to help overcome your own binge eating, but also to make it more aware that this is much more common than people realize. So I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you do, please leave a review on iTunes. They help a ton. So thank you to everyone who's done that already. And that's it. Hope you enjoy the episode. Nick, what's going on, man?
Hey, man. How are you today?
Dude, I'm doing well. Thank you for getting on the phone with me. I really appreciate it a lot.
You're welcome, man. I really appreciate you having me.
Dude, of course. Of course. So, I mean, I've literally never spoken to you before. We, like, just got on, hit record right away. So, like, before I put any words in your mouth or say anything incorrect, how about, like, just give me some background about, like, why you DM'd me on Instagram, and also more background on yourself, who you are, what you do, and then how, like, we might be able to, how I might be able to help you in this call.
Yes. So the big part of it is I've been in the nutrition world for about 6 years now. Went to university for biology and biochemistry, and then went to the Canadian School of Natural Nutrition, got certified as a holistic nutritionist, working with people for years. And one thing for me personally that prompted getting a hold of you is I've seen a lot of your content about binge eating, things like that. And for myself, it's something I've struggled with for years, to the point where since I got a sports injury, I've actually blown up about 40 pounds. And on my end, it's something I've had a hard time talking about and approaching people with, because on one hand, like, I'm very respected amongst all my clients as someone who, you know, helps people lose weight and feel healthier and this, that, and the other thing. But then at the same time, I have a hard time taking control of that for myself. And there's a lot of embarrassment on my end, to the point where, you know, I almost feel like it's difficult for me to approach people to get help being somebody who helps people. Like, there's a disconnect there. And that was the big prompt of on getting a hold of you, saying, like, there's, you know, no way I'm the only professional that's in this position. And what's something that we can do, you know, kind of like get people probably in a similar position as me or myself to a point where, you know, it's okay to talk about it. It's okay to approach people. You don't have to feel that sense of embarrassment.
Well, first and foremost, thank you for reaching out. And it was so interesting to me because I think this is something that in the industry, especially for people who've been in the industry for a long time, they know that this is something that a lot of coaches struggle with. Like, this is not something that, like, goes unnoticed by many coaches, especially the longer you've been in the field. But especially for people who are not really professionals in the field, they're just, like, trying to get healthier. They definitely don't know that. They oftentimes just assume that professionals have everything figured out. And then also other professionals tend not to want to voice it. And it's also not only that, but of course we could also bring into, like, men generally are less likely to voice their struggles with this than women, just statistically. Which is one of the reasons why, like, it was so important for me to talk about my past with it, because the more that we do it, the more it becomes okay and the norm to discuss it rather than something that's odd or weird or looked down on. What was really incredible for me to see was when you replied to my story and you said that, and I put it on my Instagram, I got hundreds, like literally hundreds of responses from nutritionists, dietitians, fitness coaches, physique competitors, like hundreds of people saying, thank whoever this person for coming out and saying this, because I struggle massively with it as well. And I'm a registered nutritionist, I'm a dietitian, blah, blah, blah. So it really only takes one person to come forward and be, like, very forthright about it to really start an incredible movement. So thank you for this. And I really think that just this call is going to help a lot of people. So I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I agree entirely. Just being able to create an environment where it's okay to come forward, I think is going to be a massive step as well. Because I mean, I'm personally a few years into having this issue, and it wasn't until that post on your Instagram where I've come forward and said anything for the first time.
So let's talk about the actual struggle. Like, give me a rundown of what the actual struggle is in terms of specifics, and then also, when did it start?
So it started for me in a sports injury. So I'm a martial arts fighter. Just a little over 2 years ago, I blew my knee out. And then recovering from that injury is when I noticed a lot of time, I was spending a lot of time by myself. I wasn't training as much as I wanted to. I wasn't around a lot of people anymore. And then that's where whenever I started getting feeling depressed about it, I'd turn to food.
Got it. Okay. So it wasn't like it didn't stem at all from cutting weight for competition or anything?
Oh, I definitely also have a poor relationship with food for that too. But
So talk about that for a second. So like you're a martial arts fighter. What did that entail in terms of competing, and when did like having a poor relationship, where do you think having a poor relationship with food actually started?
My poor relationship with food probably started around 16, where I started making weight cuts for wrestling tournaments and jiu-jitsu tournaments.
Got it.
And because there's a lot of times where my coaches are like, hey, man, we know you'll win this if you can get down 20 pounds or you can get down 15 pounds. And then, you know, here's little 16-year-old me not really knowing any better and skipping breakfast, going on runs in the morning, being half asleep at school all day, going on a run again after school, just trying to get weight off. I'm like, oh, I got to do this to win. I have to do this to win. And then that's where that mentality came behind of you need to do this. But then right after the tournament, because I was miserable almost the whole time, here comes back the food.
Man, it's very – because I didn't know any of this. And the more I talk about what I struggled with as well, like, I mean, I come from a wrestling background and I'm doing jiu-jitsu mm-hmm. now. And I remember – when I was cutting to 103 in freshman year of high school, I vividly remember I was on varsity, but there was one time where I was completely and utterly beyond sick. I don't know what I had, but a brutal cold. Like I don't know what it was, but I literally stayed home from school because I was so sick. And I texted my coach. I was like, listen, you're going to have to get Evan, essentially the backup wrestler. You're going to have to get Evan to wrestle for me because I'm really sick. I'm not even going to school. And he was like, okay, no problem. So I'm like 14 at this time. And and the next day after weigh-ins, apparently Evan didn't make weight. And so he goes, hey, you're going to have to make weight for the match tonight. And I was like, I told you I'm sick. Like, I'm not even at school. He's like, I really need you to do this. Now, looking back on this, probably around the same age that my coach was when he said this to me, I can't fucking believe that somebody would say that to like a 13, 14-year-old kid. Never mind who's yeah. sick in bed and didn't go to school. But as a 13, 14-year-old kid, I was like, holy shit, my coach needs me to do this. So I literally went to school with one of the worst colds I've ever had, skipped all of my classes, and I just ran up and down the staircase literally the entire school day with trash bags and sweatpants and sweatshirt on to sweat out about 5 pounds. And I'll never forget that. And then I remember I made weight, like, so I don't know how I did it, but I made weight after running for the majority of 6 hours that day. And then, of course, after running stairs for about 6 hours, as I was warming up to go to the match, my right calf was spasming like crazy. Like, I could feel as soon as it flexed, it was going to go. And yeah. I told my coach, I was like, coach, as soon as I step on that mat, it's going to go. And he just looks at me, he goes, you better pin him fast. He goes, you better pin him fast then. And I was like, oh fuck. Okay. So I remember I went in, I pinned him in less than 30 seconds, but just thinking back, like, literally your story, like, is very similar to mine in how, like, the poor relationship with food started. And the reason I wanted to tell that story is because I think a lot of people don't know how awful weight-controlled sports can get and how easily it is to develop poor relationships with food. And then also a lot of how, like, ridiculous the treatment of young high school athletes is among the coaches. So you were doing wrestling, developed a very poor relationship with food, like binging, purging style thing. Like, I don't know if you ever like actually threw up, but it's the binge purge mentality of where it's like, even if purging is like sweating for 6 hours straight or going on long runs or whatever it is, like you had that binge purge mentality.
Yep. 100%.
And how old are you now, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 25.
Got it. Okay. And so have you struggled with this sense about like high school from wrestling all the way through now?
Yep.
And so give me some just more feedback in regard to, you mentioned once you got injured that it really like took sort of a different form, or maybe it became more intense. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah. So when I was back, when I still competed, I was still training 5-6 days a week. A lot of the times I would compensate with the binges with extra training. Cause in my head it's like, oh, you know, to make weight or maintain weight, just train more. So then I'd binge, I'd fall into a little bit of slump from the binge, a little bit of depression. And then I just go to the gym and train for an extra hour and a half. And then that was my back and forth for a very long time. And then I blew my knee out and torn meniscus, had the meniscus surgery.
How'd you blow your knee out?
It was at a grappling tournament.
Got it. Okay.
So it was just
some poor takedown lock or something.
Actually, it was during a takedown. They kicked in a knee reap. So my left foot was planted and the remaining 180 pounds of me launched around my left knee.
Oh,
I was locked to the mat, and that was the pop.
Got it. That sucks. Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't the most fun. I wouldn't recommend it. So after that, I reached a point where I get depressed and then binge, and I didn't have that training anymore. And then that's when a lot of weight started coming on. So that was back when I was about 175 pounds. And since then, I'm at about 220 right now.
And got it.
220 on a 5'9" frame is definitely not the ideal.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you're coming from about 170 pounds. Like, I'm assuming that was competition weight. Like, yeah, that's
yeah, if I had enough time to weight cut, like for my mixed martial arts fight, I would go down to 155. Take me about 8 weeks to get there.
Got it.
And provided I had time to cut.
And this is actually a super, I mean, I'm sure you see this all the time with clients and a ton of people, in terms of people will overeat, and then that's why they often work out sometimes every single day, or sometimes even more than every day, once or twice a day. And like, that's a very common pattern. And it's one of those things where it's like, as coaches will always say, what happens if you get injured? Like, what happens if like work gets crazy? What happens if X, Y, or Z happens? And it's one of those things where the hypotheticals tend to not really hit home, because it's like, well, you know, that's not going to happen. But really what it is the hypothetical is usually not as powerful of an emotion as the actual in the moment emotion, desire to whatever it is, to exercise, as to not get fat type of a thing. So they end up still doing it, even though they know it's not necessarily the right thing. It's a very difficult emotion to overcome.
Yeah, it's a whole other ballgame, especially speaking from experience now that I've gotten the injury. Pre-injury, it's like, oh, I know if something happens, I can't always do this. But that if isn't nearly as powerful as what I was living at that exact moment.
That's incredible. Like, what you just said is huge. So talk to me more about that. Like, what were you living in that moment? Like, talk about those emotions.
So a lot of times when it would happen and I would binge, I'll just lay out the whole picture for you. So I'd be sitting in my kitchen, normally cooking a healthy meal. And then while I'm cooking, somehow I'm in the pantry, and then handful of chips goes in, and then I make a dip for it. And then I load that up. And then I've blown my calories out of the water just in snacking, waiting for my meal. And then I get to the meal and I'm like, well, I cooked this, I should eat it anyways, I'll just go to the gym. And then by the time that meal goes down, I'm sitting on my couch, I'm bloated, I'm tired, I feel just atrocious. And then the depression kicks in, and then the thoughts kick in my head of, what's wrong with you? Why are you doing this? You know better. And a lot of negativity, a lot of self-hatred kicks in. And then once that begins to pass to the point where I can convince myself to put my shoes on, I'm off at the gym. And then here comes 100 floors of stairs. Here comes 20 sets of squats. And in my head, it's just, you have to do this because you ate like shit. You feel like shit. This is your fault.
Got it.
Is what would the battle that would go on in my head over and over and over again.
How how many times a week or so do you think that would happen?
As embarrassing as it is to say, I could do that 4 or 5 times a week.
And again, like, your honesty is incredibly appreciated, but just so you know, this is very, 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 very common. Like, I've spoken to people who do this every day, sometimes multiple mm-hmm. times a day. I mean, and it's one of those reasons why I think the more powerful messages that I've put out there that I didn't even realize that people needed was just saying that you're not alone. And I think even just something as simple as your response to my Instagram that I already shared was very powerful for people, like, to know that they're not alone. So just like between you and me, what you like 4 to 5 times a week is nowhere near the extreme that I've seen it. Not to say that it's not extreme, but it's mm-hmm. it's definitely not uncommon. It's very, very, very common. And I also like to make the distinction between normal and common. I think a lot of times people conflate those two words. I think it's very common, unfortunately. And unfortunately, I think it's actually more common than it isn't. But the good news is we can now develop a more healthy, normal relationship with food. So when was actually the last time that you binged?
The last time that I binged was Tuesday, today being Sunday. So we got 5 days ago.
So that's huge. So talk to me about that. What's happened between Tuesday and Sunday that you haven't binged in since then?
So I've binged Tuesday. Felt kind of crappy about that. Also wasn't able to train. Wednesday I came close, and then I ended up just going to bed. But that was also about the time that I approached you. And it was a very interesting feeling in my head. Especially when I approached you, actually, because in my head, I'm like, oh, he's not going to see this. It's just going to be another one of those. I'm just that guy that DM'd somebody. And I saw my response come up, and then I saw that I wasn't alone. And that created this feeling inside of my head that it's like, hey, maybe it is okay to get help. Maybe there is hope somewhere. You know, I don't have to feel like I'm alone in this anymore. And then that alone started putting the thought in my head of, you know, I don't really need to do this. I know I do. I should know better. I should start being that example towards, you know, my clients and things like that. And it's okay to reach out. And it just in my head popped up that feeling of hope.
Now, that's super interesting to me, that just the thought and the understanding that you're not alone almost made it the urge, like the emotional urge, maybe not completely go away, but definitely not as powerful, have less of a stronghold over you. Is that right?
Yeah, a lot of my binge eating stemmed from feelings of like being alone, and then embarrassment of just having that feeling of like I shouldn't do this and I'm doing something wrong. Like, especially as a person who works as a professional, this is, you know, it's not like I don't understand what I'm doing. And it's not for, you know, lack of knowledge or lack of a toolbox, so to speak, for strategies to not binge eat. And it's, you know, helping people get out of binge eating is something that I teach in my career, and yet I struggle with it myself. And just the emotional impact of, you know, it's almost like I'm feeling like I'm lying to people that I'm working with, which brought on a lot of stress, and just like feeling of being alone, feeling like I don't, you know, who am I to be in this position that I'm in, and who am I to help people if I can't even help myself? And then reaching out for the first time, just for the first time in a long time, had that feeling that, you know, even if you're in a position like this, you can still reach out and get help for yourself.
And I love that.
Started to give me that feeling that, you know, maybe it is okay. And it's something I shouldn't be as embarrassed about.
That's huge, man. I love that. Now, is this the longest time frame in which you haven't binged, or like ever, or like has there been longer stints of time in which you haven't binged? Like, talk to me about that.
About the longest time I spent not binging was probably about 6 or 7 months. That was also probably the fittest I've ever been.
So talk to me about that time frame. Like, what was going on in that time frame, and why do you think that you didn't binge during that time frame?
There's a big change in my life, actually. That was the start of me going to school and working in the fitness industry. And the environment that I was in at the time was just so positive and supportive as I was going through the learning curve of understanding like biology and nutritional sciences and things like that. And that was the last time where I didn't feel alone in what I was doing. Whereas like, I'm not sure how it was when you were wrestling, but a lot of times if I was weight cutting or I was dieting, I was doing it by myself.
Yeah.
And the feelings of being alone is what got me stuck up in my own head. And then when I was in there, it's like, well, you know, it's fine. You can do this. You'll feel better after you eat. And then the emotional eating kicked in. And man, my longest time not binging was when I had that big support team of other people who I considered like brothers at the time. Were just always there to talk to, had similar goals to myself. And that just the feeling of not being alone made a massive difference for me.
Makes total sense. Like it makes complete and utter sense. So do you remember your first binge after that time frame?
Yep.
Could you talk about that one?
Yeah, so it was shortly after I finished the course and I was driving back home. And then driving got late. I had to stop at a motel. About 2 o'clock in the morning hit, I just couldn't sleep. And I was exhausted and there's a McDonald's across the street. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to pop over, quick grab something to eat, try to relax a little bit. I'm personally not one to like staying at hotels by myself. So I was fairly uncomfortable in a place I didn't know. And then the feeling of loneliness started to kick in. And I started realizing that all these people I just built a huge relationship with, I'm leaving. And yeah, I can talk to them, but it's not like I'm seeing them every day again. And I'm young, going back home, and then the feelings of loneliness kicked in. And I sat down at McDonald's and I ordered 8 double cheeseburgers.
Just in that moment when you sat down, you're like, fuck it, I'm getting 8.
Yeah.
And in that moment, was there any like regret? Was there any like what were you feeling when you did that?
Yeah, it was a strange roller coaster of emotions, if I'm being honest, because there's one part of me where I ordered 8 and in my head, I'm like, I shouldn't do this. And then the regret kicked in before the order was finished, before I had it even in front of me. And then I started eating and it's, you know, in my head, I'm like, you're going to feel like shit after this. You shouldn't be doing this. You should know better. Like, what have you just done for the last 8 months at this course? And that started conflicting with, well, you know, you're by yourself. You can deal with it tomorrow. And it started, the feelings of loneliness started conflicting with the feelings of regret before I'd even eaten. And then I ended up getting all 8 down and went back to my hotel and laid in my bed bloated and just felt like shit about myself.
And then, so you sat at McDonald's and like, basically, and I'm speaking because like, number one, I've spoken to so many people who've done this, but also when I was younger, I obviously went through this, like literally as you're doing it, you're like, fuck, stop doing this. Like, why are you doing this? Like literally at every bite, you're like, you're not even enjoying it. It's more of like a compulsive emotional response rather than like, oh, this is really amazing. Like I'm enjoying this.
Yeah, exactly. I was going through and I wasn't hungry at the time. They weren't even that good. So there was almost no sense of enjoyment the entire time. And just, it's almost like that my subconscious kicked in and it's like, no, when you're alone, you eat. And just the conscious part of my brain just was overridden. And then food just kept going down.
And then from that point, is that when you started to binge regularly again?
Yeah, that was the start of the cycle. After I got back home, binging whenever I felt alone.
Got it. Okay. And how long ago was that?
It's 4 years ago now.
Got it. And then so the exercise, the training and the intense exercise, what sort of allowed you to offset the binging until the injury happened?
Yeah, because at that point I was at a spot in my life where I could go to the gym for 4 or 5 hours a day and train. So even though I was binging, people were still coming to me like, oh, you know, you have a great physique. You're doing so well. You're so dedicated. And whatever, you know, generic compliments you get from strangers in the gym. right. But it's, you know, constantly having that. And in my head, I'm like, okay, well, I guess the binging isn't really affecting me then. And then it went untalked about. Because on one hand, people are come up like, oh, you know, you're motivating. I wish I had a physique like yours. They'd ask for pointers in the gym and they'd ask about my eating and things like that. And the last thing I wanted to tell these people, I'm like, actually, I binge eat and feel like a piece of shit all the time.
Which then also creates this like feeling like a fraud and,
incredibly, I genuinely feel like I'm lying to people when I try to tell them about, you know, taking control of their eating and portion control and understanding what's going into your body and knowing to stop when you're full. And, things that I regularly talk to my clients about. And then in my head, I'm like, well, what gives you the right to talk about this? You have the same problem and you can't even help yourself.
Now, have your clients, have you been able to very much help your clients who struggle with binge eating?
I have, yeah.
So talk to me about some of the things that you found work very well for your clients who struggle with binge eating.
Actually, funny enough, the strategy that you gave me the other night when we were texting is the same strategy that I use with a lot of my clients of, like, if you feel the need to binge eating coming on, set a 20-minute timer and have a glass of water. And if when that timer goes off, you still have that desire to eat, go for it. You can only do so much damage in a day. Another thing I do is I say, call me. It doesn't matter if my phone goes off at 3 o'clock in the morning. If you feel like you're going to go into this and then the feelings of self-hatred come in, phone me, talk to me about it. Time of day doesn't matter. I just want them to feel like they're not alone. Like the big one for me with working for my clients is, and a lot of my motivation to do what I do is, I don't want them to feel the same way I do.
Yep. I know exactly what you mean with that. Very much get that. And how does that work for them?
I if I had to guess, it'd probably work 70% of the time or so. A lot of them, they have family, so they'll put that timer on and the timer goes off. And by then they've put on a movie with their kids, or, you know, they're out with their spouse or whatever it may be. And just that split second opportunity to binge has passed. And then the other hand, where I've gotten phone calls and I've had clients phone me crying and they're like, I don't know how to control this. And it's just, you know, calm down, breathe, let's talk it out. You know, how are you feeling right now? Why do you think this is happening? And I work with them to, from an emotional standpoint, come to terms with what's the trigger of the binge eating, what's the emotional root, and then let's attack that. Let's not attack, you know, the feelings of binge eating itself. Let's attack the trigger.
So, I love that. So what have you found to be generally some of the most common triggers?
A lot of common triggers are like high stress. People stress eat a lot when it comes to binging. I find a lot of people similar to myself, they binge eat when they're alone. Those are probably the two biggest ones, especially stress. Like, we're living in a very high stress environment in Western society. So I talk to people where it's, you know, I've done a 14-hour day at work and I had to skip lunch and then I had to skip this break and I feel really, really hungry and I'm stressed out. And it's just the comfort food kicks in and then they'll eat till they feel like they're going to throw up or until they do throw up.
So going back to yourself, what do you think your major or one of your major triggers is?
Personally, my biggest trigger is the feeling of being lonely.
So you live alone?
Yeah.
Got it. And so
what?
What's up?
So I live with my girlfriend, but we work very opposite shifts. So I spend large chunks of the day by myself.
Got it. Okay. And so is she not home at night or late at night? So you can binge when you're like alone at night, or do you binge other times?
I normally binge at night. Yeah. Cause what'll happen is she'll work until 10:30, 11. And then I'm off work between 4 and 6.
Got it.
And then it leaves enough of a gap for, you know, come 9 o'clock, I'm getting kind of tired. Feel lonely, I feel kind of crappy, and then into the kitchen.
And have you spoken with her about your binging?
I've brought it up a few times. I probably haven't been as honest about it as I could be.
Okay, so talk about that.
A lot of the times when I bring it up, I don't tell her how frequent it is, just out of embarrassment.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I bring it up in a way where of, you know, oh, I, you know, I did this and I consumed all this food, but, you know, I'm not going to rebuy that particular snack. And she's like, oh, you know, good for you. Take the steps. Like, you know what to do. You got this. And then that's virtually the end of the conversation. Cause like she doesn't work in the health field. She doesn't have an understanding of it like I do. So yeah. In her mind, I'm that guy that just knows what to do. I know how to fix it. And then if I go like, oh, this happened, I'm going to work on it. She's like, all right, you said you're going to work on it. Good enough.
and she, I'm assuming, doesn't understand like that it's actual like binging. She might not even understand binging is an issue. Like, for example, my girlfriend, when she started following me on Instagram and like we started dating, like she, when I was talking about binging, like she literally wasn't aware that this is something that so many people struggle with. And I think it's largely because most people don't, no one is going around saying like, hey, just so you know, I had a huge binge last night. It was completely uncontrollable. I felt like an asshole afterwards and I was so bloated I wanted to throw up. Like, nobody's doing that. And so like, no. And so my girlfriend, like, she didn't even know that it was a thing. And it was interesting. What's interesting about her is that she like is one of those people who's very fortunate to like, she just takes don't eat like an asshole to the most literal level in terms of she's just so good about being like making sure she just eats a lot of fruits and vegetables and lean proteins and like doesn't get overly obsessive about it. And then when she does have some cake or pie or whatever, it's like, she's like, cool, whatever. And then she just gets right back on track and she doesn't overthink it at all. It's almost just like out of sight, out of mind, not even part of her thought process. Is that sort of where your girlfriend is on it?
Yeah, it's very similar. My girlfriend has the metabolism of a gazelle. And to put it plainly, it's just, she could, you know, eat pizza and then follow up pizza with ice cream and then, you know, go change into her pajamas. I'm like, oh, sick abs. And then just, she has such natural portion control. Like, we'll go out to eat and we'll both order. And then I finish my whole plate and she'll get halfway through hers. She's like, oh, I'm just not very hungry. Like, that's that. And even back when I first met her, I'm like, I'm one of those people where I finish my plate, especially if I go out to eat. And it's just how I've always been. And we go out to eat and she doesn't finish her plate. I'm like, what do you mean you're not finishing your plate?
She's just like, I'm not hungry anymore.
So she's like, I'm not hungry. And I'm like, what? Like, people do that?
It's such a healthy relationship with food. I don't understand that. Give me your plate. I'm going to finish it.
Yeah. I'm like, well, since you're not going to eat those fries, like.
So I'm assuming that, and tell me if I'm wrong, I'm assuming that that's also another form of feeling alone in terms of you can't really be fully honest with her, or you haven't really been fully honest with her, and like she doesn't really understand it. And part of her not really understanding it, and maybe not even understanding enough to ask the right questions or know to ask certain questions, also makes you feel more alone about it.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. So let me ask you this. Like, this is going to seem like a very obvious question, but like, it's also really important, is like, are you at a point in which you really want to stop binging?
I very am.
Okay. So just briefly talk to me about like why that was the most passionate I've heard you on this call. Like, why are you at a point where you're like, yes, I'm really ready to start to not binge ever again?
I'm currently at the heaviest I've ever been in my life. It's getting to the point where I get embarrassed even taking on clients, and it's affecting my career. It's now to the point where I can't physically be as active, do all the things I enjoy doing. And it's borderline to the point, it's beginning to affect my relationship, to the point where it's like, oh, can we go do this? Can we go do that? I'm like, well, I can't, I'm in pain. Yeah. Then I'm just not taking, for the longest time, was just never taking the steps to deal with, you know, like chronic inflammation and like all the bloating that comes along with overeating, and properly rehabilitating my injury after the surgery and things like that. And I've kind of reached the point where I had to look at myself in the mirror and said, all right, you're either going to let this consume you and this is your new life now, you might as well find a new career, or you're going to have to take the step and actually deal with it and face your demons.
And is
that was when I,
you DM me after that?
Yeah, that was when I saw your the question guys ask me a question.
Yep.
And I'm like, fuck it. What do I have to lose? It was my exact mentality.
I love that. That's amazing. And now, do you count calories?
Yep.
You currently count calories?
Yes.
So then, like, I'm assuming that when you do go over, like, when you have a binge, that leads to even more guilt where it's like, fuck, like, I was at my calories, then I just ate way more. Like, I know I went over probably by, like, however many thousand, whatever it is. Like, mm-hmm. So the counting calories can even contribute to it more?
100%. The embarrassment actually gets to the point. So I'm, for anyone who uses MyFitnessPal, you can be friends with people, and they can look at what you're eating and vice versa. And I do that with a lot of my clients. So they can kind of see how I'm going about my day. And I have a very easy time kind of keeping up with them for those who like to track calories and plug their food in. And I have times where I'll eat something and I'm like, fuck, I can't put that in there.
Yep.
And I just don't. And like, I know in my head, it's like, you should be honest with these people. I'm like, fuck, I'm way too embarrassed to put this in there. I can't tell my clients that they should be, you know, consciously eating and stopping when they're full. And then I literally ate an entire pumpkin pie, like the whole pie.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I get it. And what's interesting is I'm assuming you noticed this, but it's worth mentioning that in every aspect of your life, you are putting yourself in situations in which you're literally asking for yourself to feel more and more alone and more guilty and more like a fraud in each of these situations. And it's like everywhere you turn, it's another reason to feel bad and to feel like you're lying and to feel like you don't belong here, which just literally just is a roller coaster. It's a massive snowball effect of like, well, fuck, just keep on binging. Cause what the fuck is the point?
Yeah. 100%. And then all the embarrassment comes from the social pressure. Like when I was younger and I was competing, it's like, oh, I have to make weight. I have to skip these meals. I have to do these extra workouts because I got my team counting on me. I have my coach counting on me. I have to bring back that first place. And then now with my clients, and I'm like, oh, I can't admit to them that I binge eat. Like they look up to me for motivation. And they look up to me as that guy that when things are going to shit, they can just, you know, give me a call, shoot me a text, and I'm there to help.
I get it.
The amount of social pressure and embarrassment that I feel, I can't admit to these people that like, oh, by the way, the guy you're coming to also can't control his eating.
It's a lot. It's a lot. So let me ask you this. If I told you that you weren't going to count calories for the next 30 days, would that give you any form of anxiety?
A little bit.
Talk about that. Why would that give you anxiety?
I very like being in control and like knowing. I don't like leaving things to the unknown. So even though I'm binge eating, I'm conscious of exactly how much I'm eating, and it brings on a lot of stress. I'm the type of person where I need things going the way I want them to.
I totally get that. So let me ask you this. You're the kind of person who needs to be in control and needs things to be going the way you want them to go. Based on your current binging, would you say that you are in control of what you're doing, that things are going the way you want them to go?
Definitely not.
All right. So with that.
That's a big part of that emotional disconnect that I have is on one hand, like I need that feeling of control. And on the other hand, I don't have it.
And that is a fuck ton of cognitive dissonance, number one. Like,
yeah.
It can be a very, very difficult emotion to overcome. Now, do you think, just based on research around binge eating and maybe what you've even found with your clients, do you think that being meticulous with your calorie counting is helping or hurting?
That I'm a little bit torn on. So on one hand, I've read a lot of the research. And I understand that the amount of pressure behind calorie counting for a lot of people, that extra stress doesn't help with the situation at all. And then on the other hand, like for me personally, when I track my calories and I have a good day, I feel absolutely amazing. And then it's not until the binge kicks in that I lose that sense of feeling. So on one hand, I like just to be able to see that, yes, I did a good job. I can see it. I can look at it. It's tangible. Whereas when I'm not tracking, I don't have that visual of, yes, I did a good job today.
Got it. Okay. So trying to think, there's so many questions to go with this. Cause I mean, obviously, you know,
yeah.
I'm a big fan of calorie counting. I'm a huge fan mm-hmm. of it. I think it's incredibly important for many, many people. I also know, and I'm sure that you know as well, that people who tend to struggle with binge eating or disordered eating, calorie counting can oftentimes in the short term exacerbate more issues than actually help. And it doesn't mean that you can't ever do it. For example, it used to, for me, also coupled with intermittent fasting, it used to end up perpetuating a binge until I ended up, I gave myself a challenge. I was like, you cannot count calories anymore and you have to eat breakfast. Those were the random challenge that I gave myself at like 20, 21 years old. Cause I was like, I'm sick of this. I'm done with it. I was saving my calories for the end of the day. Almost, I was saving my calories oftentimes in preparation for a binge, have you ever done that?
Yep. I've definitely had days where I've had days where, you know, I know I'm working a 10 or 11 hour day. And I know when I go home, there's going to be a 4 or 5 hour stint where I'm by myself. And in my head, I'm like, fuck, there's no point in sugarcoating this. Like, I'm going to go home and I'm going to eat until I hate myself.
So then you end up deliberately not eating so that you have more wiggle room when you end up unleashing the beast at night.
I've actually regularly, well, not super regularly, but I've very done it. To the point where my first meal of the day is my binge eat at 7 o'clock at night.
How often do you think you do that on a weekly basis?
I'd say once every other week.
Once every other week. Got it. Okay.
Once every other week. And it always lines up where my work days are very long. And then I know I'm coming home alone.
Got it. So it's a strategic thing. It's like, all right, like you like look forward to it almost in a weird way. You look forward to that one point in the day in which you can do something completely uncontrolled almost,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting from the perspective of you're a guy who likes control, likes things to be going your way. But in a ironic way, you sometimes set things up in a pattern that allows you to have almost no control of yourself for a brief period of time, even though you know you're not going to feel good about it. But it's a brief period of time in which you can sort of just like fucking go nuts.
Yeah. And it's a very weird feeling of, although it's entirely uncontrolled, I feel like I've arranged it in a way where it is controlled. And that's how I start trying to justify that to myself of, oh, you know, I didn't eat all day. I had that control to not consume food until 7 o'clock at night. I'm only water. I have, you know, 2,200 calories for my day. This binge couldn't be that bad.
I get it. That makes total sense.
It's a very small feeling of control and the complete insanity that's happening.
So, I mean, the good news is it sounds like you are an objective thinker, and you're especially like in this conversation, you're very good at logically pointing out where you're justifying behaviors that you, number one, don't want to do, number two, wouldn't recommend anyone else do, and number three, you're able to see where you're having logical inconsistencies in doing things based on emotion rather than logic. So that in and of itself is incredibly impressive. Now, imagining that everything that you've said was either a client of yours saying it or a friend of yours saying it, would you recommend that at least like just to give it a shot, like would you agree that trying to not count calories for 30 days just to see would be at least a good option to try?
Yeah, I think it would be worth a shot. If I was talking to a client about it, for myself, the thought of losing controls kicks the anxiety in.
So why would you tell a client it's at least worth a shot for 30 days? And don't play the game in terms of being like, all right, he's really asking me to tell myself this. But like, really, if you were telling a client this, why? And you had a client who was coming to you saying, like, literally that this is what they're struggling with, and the calorie counting is like they feel like they need it to stay in control, but they're clearly not in control. Like, what would the conversation with a client actually look like?
If I were talking to a client about that, I would switch it from the numbers to the emotions, because clearly there's a lot of emotion there. And I would say, okay, you know, will let you keep that sense of control that you're looking, that will let you kind of keep, since you've a lot of these clients like counting and switching them to intuitive eating, and say, let's do this as a learning process of understanding your body and its reaction to this food, and eating in a way where, you know, you're doing your best to stop when you're full and paying attention to how you feel and what the food's doing for you. And I'd flip it to a learning curve of understanding what their food's doing for them and how they feel after they eat, and getting them to start paying attention to when they feel full and what foods make them feel good and what foods make them feel bad, without having to pin the numbers to it.
I love that. I think it's amazing. Now, have you heard of my three meal, two snack rule?
Yep.
What do you think about that?
I'm going to need you to expand a little bit on it, because although I've heard of it, I haven't dug into it.
Got it. Okay. So my three meal, two snack rule is, if I do say so myself, I think one of my more genius inventions. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I came up with at first when I was like 20, 21 years old, to stop myself from binging. And the reason that I came up with it was for a number of reasons. Number one is, I was very much in the same way, and I still am, like, I want to be in control. It's one of the reasons that one of the hardest parts about owning a business is delegating to have other people do work for your business, where it's like, the vast majority of my business, like, I was the one doing everything. I was doing all the social media. I was doing all of the video. I was doing all the editing. I was doing all the writing. I was doing all the responses. I was doing all the emails. I was doing all the programs. It's like, but at a certain point, you can't do everything if you actually want to help more people. So delegating and getting an assistant or having Rico be a videographer, all these things, like, it's essential if you actually want to grow and expand. And it's one of the biggest things that I struggle with to this day. Fortunately, trying to get better at it. Every time I do something new, it's always pushing outside my comfort zone, makes me incredibly nervous and anxious. But I've also never regretted trying something new. Even when I hired my first videographer, who ended up being, it was not a good fit, it ended up being something that I still didn't regret, because it was a massive learning experience. And then I ended up getting Rico as a result, and it has worked out even better than I could have imagined. And the same thing with the three plate, two snack rule. Basically, I knew I needed to have some control, and I knew that the major benefit of calorie counting was portion control. And essentially, well, it's not 100% precise, it is very close to precise. It you can be as meticulous as you want to be, and with that meticulousness, if that's a word, with that like level of scrutiny, you also give yourself the ability to sort of play into your own issues. So, for example, if you are someone who binge eats, then you can save your calories for later in the day, so that you are allowing yourself to have a massive binge. That's what I ended up – I found myself doing with intermittent fasting. And so I was like, all right, listen, number one rule is, I have to have breakfast. Like, I do not care what the day is like. I don't care how busy I am. I don't care what emotion I'm having. I have to sit down and have breakfast. If that means waking up 30 minutes earlier to make sure that I sit down at my dining room table — I was 28 years old, I was at my mom's dining room table — and have fucking breakfast, then I have to do that. And it was a bright line. I made that rule with myself. Now, the cool part about this is, it's my way of creating a controlled environment for people who need control without necessarily adding up every single calorie. And when you create this structure, you sort of replace one with another. But the cool part is, you're also eliminating the possibility for saving as many calories as possible at the end of the day by forcing yourself to eat at a certain time. So number one is, I had to eat breakfast. And I had to, and the whole rule was, I could put as much on that plate as I wanted. There was no limit to what I put on that plate, but I could only have one plate, and it couldn't be like a lunch tray size in the cafeteria plate. It had to be a regular plate, and put as much as I want on it. It had to have some fruits, some vegetables, and some protein, but there was no limit otherwise, just some fruit, some vegetables, some protein. And I had three of those plates a day and two snacks. The snacks, it just had to fit in my palm. It could be a fruit or a protein. And I could have as many vegetables as I wanted. And that was it. It was my rules. 3 plates, 2 snacks. Every plate had to fit on one plate. There had to be fruits, vegetables, and protein, but I could have as much as I wanted. I could stack it up as high as I wanted, but it had to all fit on one plate and just 2 snacks. And it could be a fruit or protein and have as many vegetables as I wanted. So in doing that, I can say with 100% honesty, among the people who have actually done this, this has had over a 95% success rate, which is insane.
That is incredible.
Absolutely insane among the people who've done this for at least 2 weeks. If people stop doing it before that 2 week mark, then they're obviously less likely to succeed, obviously, because if they stop before 2 weeks, then they weren't consistent. And then usually it means that they ended up binging. But The first day is always the hardest. The first meal is always the hardest because it's the first time you're doing something new. Like the first time you step on the jiu-jitsu mat, it's the hardest because you're going to get your ass beat and you don't know what the fuck you're doing. The first time you go into the gym, it's the hardest because you think everyone's judging you. You think everyone's looking at you. You don't know what exercises to do. You don't know how much to lift. But every time you go in, every time you do it, it gets easier and easier and easier until you get to a point where this is actually pretty enjoyable. Like, I like this. And there's that conversion from nervousness, anxiousness, fear to all of a sudden enjoyment. It happens very quickly. Like it's like almost between one session to the next, and it's usually within the first couple weeks. And this is exactly what I've found with this as well, where when you've been calorie counting, and by you, I mean like everyone, like myself included.
Yeah.
When you've been calorie counting for so long and you've looked at it as something that you need to do in order to have control, the first time you decide not to do it, it is very anxiety producing and very fearful, and you're scared. Because you don't have control in the way that you're used to. But what I found is the people who have done it at least for 14 days, by the 14th day, it feels like they literally took this heaviest weighted backpack off of themselves. And all of a sudden, they feel like they can be honest with themselves. They can be honest with other people. They feel like they finally actually truly have control, not fake sense of control in terms of numbers, but true sense of control in terms of not binging. And that's really what the control we want, right? So what I would challenge you to, and I have an idea, and tell me if you're up for this, because I think this could do really, really well. The other day when you were texting after you had DM'd, I had given you a sort of a mini challenge, which was, I said, if you feel like you're going to binge, wait 20 minutes. And if you still want to binge, go all out, fucking go nuts, eat everything in your fucking house. I don't care, but wait 20 minutes. And since then, which is extraordinary, you haven't binged. Now I'm going to give you another challenge. And one of the reasons I like these challenges, to be very forthright, is because oftentimes we don't truly believe we can do something until we're put in a situation in which we're challenged, which is one of the greatest parts about competition sports. But I'm going to challenge you to 30 days of my 3-plate, 2-snack rule.
All right.
And then at the end of 30 days, we're going to get on another call. We're going to record it and we're going to see how you did. And here's what I actually very firmly believe. I believe that simply based on the way that you, number one, on the fact that you messaged me, you're like, what the fuck do I have to lose? And the way you responded to, yes, I am very much ready to change, I would bet a lot of money that you're going to do this very successfully. Like, I would bet a truly obscene amount of money just based on how many people I've had this type of conversation with and their success rate with it. Like, I very much believe that just based on everything I've seen from you, like the level of, I believe, self-efficacy that you have, the level of determination you have, the level of the point in your life in which you're fed up with not having control, I very much believe you're going to do this. And at the end of 30 days, we'll get back on the phone. We'll do another call. We'll see how it went. And then we'll come up with another plan to go forward if we need another plan, but at the very least, just to chat and see how it went. How do you think about that?
Yeah, that sounds good. I said, at this point, anything's worth a shot. I mean, what you're talking about is something I believe in. And then this, for me, someone in my position, feel like having someone else who I have respect for telling me what to do versus me trying to tell myself from my own expertise, because it's like I said before, it's not for lack of knowledge. I think would be really good. I think it's going to work out better than me giving myself the same plan.
I think by the end of week one, you're gonna end up texting me being like, "Holy fuck, dude! Like, this changed everything." I very much believe that, and it might even be by the end of day three. But the first day is going to by far be the most difficult. And the cool part about that is this: once you get through the first day, your confidence will be so high because you just did it. And that's literally all it takes, is that one day, that one day, and then you're steamrolling, you're going. So do you have any questions about the challenge or the particulars at all?
Nope. It's all really straightforward.
So 30 days. So what is today? It is November 24th. All right. Oh, wow. That's perfect. So right before Christmas.
Yeah. So Christmas Eve.
So, and that's actually going to be great, because maybe what we'll end up doing is we'll end up getting on a call like January 2nd, January 3rd, early January, see how you did over the holidays. But this will be great because it'll give you the opportunity to go through the holidays as well, which is, to be quite frank, as everybody knows, like the hardest time of year for nutrition. But
oh yeah,
the cool part about this is we're not restricting you from having any foods. Mm-hmm. There is no restriction here. There's no, you can't have this, you can't have that. The only rule is 3 meals, 2 snacks every day, and I want you to have breakfast. That's it. Okay. Now, if during the holidays you want to drink, what I would say is this. I would say, do you drink alcohol?
Not often.
Okay, cool. Are you going to drink during the holidays?
Probably.
Okay, so during the holidays, what I would say is this. If you're going to drink, for every drink that you're going to have, take away one snack.
Okay.
So replace it. So the snack, you have the drink instead of the snack. And I would try and – that means that 2 drinks is enough. If you end up doing more, that's fine. But no matter what, your bright line, your rule is 3 meals that day. And you have to have breakfast. 3 plates. If you can stick to that, which I very much believe you can, I think that literally within the next month, the rest of your life is going to be changed.
That I can do.
Now, let me ask you this. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being literally this was a waste of time, not confident at all, I'm going to binge tonight, I know it, like, to 10 being 100% confident, no questions about it, like, this is it, this is everything. How confident are you in your ability to succeed?
As of right this second?
Right now.
I'm at a 9.
Fucking A. You know, here's a really cool stat. When people in this moment say anything 7 or 6 or below, they are statistically, like, radically less likely to succeed. When people say 7 or above, they succeed. It's like that over 95% rate. The fact that you just said 9, like, this is it. Like, I would, if there was like a bet going on, I would put an outrageous sum of money on this literally changing the rest of your life forever. Because just based on number one, a lot of what you said, where you are in your life to have reached out, and then also on that self-efficacy rating, just like that 9, I'm super stoked, man. I'm really excited. I could not be happier.
But I'm really excited to get this going too. I mean, from an emotional standpoint, based off of what I was talking about this before, like, I gave the 9 because right now I have the biggest sense of feeling that I'm not alone in this.
That's amazing. And it's true. You're not. You have me 100%. With you every step of the way. And what I would say is this also, and that's actually something we'll talk a lot about when we get on the phone in the next call, like the idea of not feeling alone and how to overcome that and sort of a lot of what sort of the underlying psychology of this is. But I also want you to stop logging your food on MyFitnessPal for your clients. And you should tell them. I very much think that you should be honest with them for 2 reasons. Number one is, they're not going to feel like they're alone just simply by hearing you talk about it. And number two is, two more reasons. So three total reasons. They're not going to feel alone. They're going to actually probably feel better knowing that they're not alone and that they're not the only one struggling with it. Number two is you're no longer going to feel alone in that sense, because you're not lying to them anymore, because you're not actively avoiding putting food in there, and you can be honest, and people always feel better when they're honest, always. And then number three, you're not tracking your calories. So I don't want you to feel like you have to do that and then also be tracking your calories, because this is 30 days of zero tracking. So for those three reasons, I don't want you being in there at all. And if you, I would say, like, if they're asking, hey, you're not logging your food, be like, yep, I'm working on my own relationship with food. You know, it's a mini experiment that I'm doing. If you want, you could even send them the podcast so that they can listen to it. But like, tell them the truth, be very honest and be like, listen, you know, one thing that I've struggled with for a long time as a coach is like being able to be very, very helpful to people. But this is something I struggle with as well. And I've been embarrassed, but I want to be honest with you because number one, hopefully it'll help you. And number two is telling the truth is always the right thing to do. And I very much believe that no one has ever regretted doing the right thing. And you doing that is going to, it's another way, every layer of this is to make you realize that you're not alone. And unfortunately, I think what a lot of people do is they put themselves in situations in which they almost force themselves to feel alone. And so what we're doing is we're taking the uncomfortable steps to help you realize that you're not alone. And the more that you make these decisions, the more you're going to feel that you're not alone. And the more you're going to realize that you've never been alone this whole time and that I'm always here to help.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic.
Cool.
Things like this is something I feel needs to be a lot more mainstream amongst other professionals. But I can't even describe to you how much confidence and excitement that I have for this right now.
I'm super excited, man. I'm really stoked, and I'm incredibly blessed and grateful that you got on the phone and spoke with me. And I cannot wait to keep up to date with how you're doing. Please text me. Like, seriously, please text me throughout the 30 days. Let me know how you're doing. If I can help, have any questions, let me know. And I'll be talking to you very soon. All right.
Yeah, sounds great, man. Thank you very much.
All right, my man. Have a wonderful weekend. I'll talk to you soon. All right.
Sounds good. You take care of yourself.
Bye bye. And that wraps it up for this episode of the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. I want to extend a heartfelt thank you to Nick for coming on and speaking with me. I can't wait to hop on the phone with you again in 30 days. And I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you did, please leave a review on iTunes. If you have any questions, let me know. I'll talk to you soon.